and it sort of grows in you when you put it in your mouth. You know, it feels this swelling up. Well, this is the kind of feeling I got when I started getting into this subject. And what I thought was going to be one Sunday may go into more than one. I don't know how long, how much, but we'll find out. You know, that's a good thing about living by faith and being led of the Spirit of God. Hey, I got a half hour today. All right, so we have heard, you know, all of you have heard about these big castles that are built on hills that were so difficult to conquer, you know, by invading forces. In fact, the teens are going to have some medieval themes with nice knights and stuff and swords and conquering and being conquered and all of that kind of stuff. So, you know, these big castles on hills, you know, the emperors and the rulers would like to build these big structures, very fortified structures, so that they would not be conquered, you know, in a very strategic place to where enemy would have to really fight to get close, and when they got close, they were prepared to defend the place. And you've heard of, I think, Masada and a few other places that were difficult to be conquered. And some of them lasted hundreds of years of battle before they were finally conquered. And, you know, this type of fortification were usually called strongholds. In the Bible, the word stronghold comes from the Greek word okuroma. So now you know Greek, so I'm glad that you are such brilliant people. This is one of the oldest words used in the New Testament. Okuroma so goes way back then. It describes a fortress, a castle, or a citadel. They had very high walls, very thick walls. They were very impregnable, usually in steep hills that it was hard to climb, and especially to take equipment to hit the walls, you know. So, you know, they had catapults that throw rocks at walls, but they couldn't get them up high enough. So they were perfect places to defend. Fortresses, castles, citadels, they were designed to keep intruders out, and people felt safe inside. But by the time of the New Testament came, this same word was used to describe a prison. Now, a fortress keeps people from getting in. A prison keeps people from getting out. And just as ancient rulers build their strongholds, perch high on a mountainside, the devil attempts to build strong lies in your mind and mine, so he can rule us from a high position in our minds and emotions. And even though you may know that these are lies of the enemy, they can be so ingrained in our belief system that they control our thoughts, our behavior, and ultimately our actions. When you have strongholds in your mind and emotions, you have invisible walls around you that act both as a fortress and as a prison. You have become a prisoner, and no one can come in and rescue you out from that stronghold. And at the same time, you cannot break out of this prison on your own strength either. So you're trapped in these so-called strongholds of the mind and emotions. There you are, behind mental and emotional chains, viewing life through the bondage that you somehow allowed Satan to put in your mind, and trapped in behaviors that you believe you cannot get free from. Let me give you an example. I've used this before, but it bears repeating because it so clearly describes what we're talking about. There's an animal that is, man builds a stronghold on this animal. It's called the elephant. When elephants are small, the people that want to control these animals, they chain the elephant to a strong pole around his leg. You know, they put a chain, they put some kind of a harness in the leg so it can't slip out. And then they put a strong pole, heavy chain, heavy duty chain, small elephant. You know, they may be small, but they can do more than man can. So they choose a very strong pole, a very strong chain, and a very strong harness around the leg, usually the back leg. And he cannot get free on his own. You know, at first he tries, he bucks, he screams, he cries. And after a while, he settles on the idea that he is a prisoner. And that will be the fact of the rest of his life. He settles on that. He grows up thinking this way. I'm a prisoner of this chain. I can't break out. After a while, he doesn't even try. Well, that elephant grows up. And when he is fully grown, even a puny chain and a simple stake will make him feel trapped, though he has the strength to get free if he wants to. But the problem is, he's convinced he can't. And though physically he can, mentally he can't. He cannot. Strongholds are conflicts in beliefs and ideas that are opposed to God's intention for you and for me. These mental patterns are based on what we know and what we believe, and they shape our actions. You know, you can only do what you know and what you believe. But these mental patterns usually start with harmful thought patterns, with arrogant attitudes that we get out of the blue, or messages that the world keeps sending us. And all these things may have a lasting impression on our hearts and our minds, and somehow we keep entertaining them. We keep considering them, and we think about them, and we consider them, and after a while, they become our truth. Over a period of time, these beliefs become strongholds that keep you spiritually ineffective in many areas because they are opposing to the truth of God. A few examples of strongholds in people's minds is, you have heard people say, I cannot enjoy moments of happiness because as soon as I do, something bad happens. Have you heard that? Have you said that yourself? You know, I can't even enjoy this because I know something's going to go wrong. You know, if you just rationalize this for a minute, you would know that that's a lie of the enemy. Others can say, I cannot speak about how I feel because people will find out and reject me. I always have to pretend in front of people. Have we said that? Have we thought of that? Have we acted on that? You keep acting that way, it becomes a stronghold in you, and you will never portray yourself as you really are. You will always be pretending in front of others. Sunday morning is a perfect place. People come in smiling. Hi, brother. Hi, sister. High five. The rest of the week, Give me coffee, give me something. Others say, if I admit that I don't know, then I look like I am a dumb person. I've heard that. You know, there's a difference between being dumb and being uninformed. There's nothing wrong for being uninformed. There's a lot of things I don't know. That doesn't make me dumb. I'm just not uninformed. So, big difference between being dumb and being uninformed. And that's, you need to understand that. So don't think that just because you don't know it, you have to say, yeah, I know it, so that you don't look dumb. No, you're being dumb if you don't admit that you don't know. Others say, if I admit I was wrong, people will take advantage of me. Many people never ask for forgiveness because they think, oh, if I ask for forgiveness, they will take advantage of me. Sheesh. And those kind of people eventually never allow others to correct them. And they can, you know, and after a while, you know, you can only try to help a porcupine so long. And if he keeps bucking, you let him do whatever it wants to do. And that happens with Christians too. You know, we try to help people with a good intention and say, you know, I think this area, no, I'm right, I'm right. And after a while you say, okay, have your way. Many emotions can become strongholds if you give them a lot of thought. Some of these examples include anger. You know, you dwell on anger, and after a while, it will become a stronghold. Pride, you know. Somebody gives you an idea, sometimes even parents, unknowingly or knowingly. You know, they, oh, little princess, you are the best, and you are this, and you are, you know. There is an aspect of you encourage self-esteem, but you don't encourage arrogance. Or an attitude of pride that you think that you're best than anybody else, you know. So anger, pride, shame, the opposite of, well, shame has a lot to do with pride as well. Fear, rejection, envy, prejudice, all those things, you dwell long enough in them, and you continue making a nest for those birds to come and land on your head and make their abode there and eventually control you. Now, there are at least two kinds of strongholds that I am going to mention today. One of them, there's different categories, but these two categories, one of them is a rational stronghold, and another one, irrational stronghold. And that first word will pretty much define what they are. Rational stronghold are usually more difficult to deal with since they usually make sense to the natural mind. Yeah, that's right. You know, you say, yeah, that's right. Even though it's a lie of the enemy, you know, because it may make natural sense. Even though supernatural sense is not there, because we don't live according to the world, we live about the kingdom of God and its laws. So, this rational stronghold have to do with things that, to our natural mind, they may make sense, or at least the way we were taught. You know, it makes sense in our head because I was taught that since I was little. And yeah. And, you know, you all know that our parents didn't quite know everything either. And so they got some things wrong, and they had strongholds that they passed on to us. And a lot of fears, a lot of be careful, you don't do this or you always do that, whether it's divinely ordained or just fleshly derived. So, yeah, we'll get there in a minute. We, you know, our mind is a funny thing. And not funny as ha-ha, but interesting. We need to have a sound mind. In other words, we need to be reasonable about the things that we think. But we are commanded when we get born again, that our minds need to be renewed according to God's principles. And a lot of times we keep a lot of the old stuff that was part of our lost nature that was ingrained by our environment, by our heritage, our circumstances. And that may not be right at all. It may not be the truth. And so Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God says, hey, you get born again, your spirit is born again, but your mind and your body are not changed yet. And so he says, at the end of your life, I'll change your body, but in the meantime, you have to change your mind. And the mind gets changed through reading, understanding, studying what the word has to say about the principles and the character and the purposes of God. And so there are many Christians that are born again genuinely. They gave their hearts to the Lord because they knew they were lost. And they received Jesus as their Savior. But they never get into the word to change how the mind thinks. And though their spirits are born again, their minds are still in the world system, operating by the rules of the world. And that is a miserable life to live. Yeah. You know why? Because when you get born again, you get the Spirit of God to dwell in you. And he's whispering, you know, that's wrong. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. And here you're thinking, well, that's what I was taught. And so you try to go by what you were taught, and then the Holy Spirit said, no, don't do that. And say, oh, I feel bad, but I'm going to do it because that's all I know. Well, if that's all you know, then you need to get more knowledge. Don't stay dumb. Receive instruction, direction, guidance, so that your mind is transformed and begin to think, guess what, like God thinks. Because after all, when you receive Jesus, you become his child, and we are to represent him. But if we don't know him, and he has portrayed himself through his word, then we cannot portray what he is like. And that is our true identity. He wants us to live that. So, rational strongholds make sense, and your logical mind will always try to talk you out of obeying God. That's the nature of the natural mind. The natural mind is against God. You know, we can be religious and still not please God at all. In fact, the religious mind will not please God. It will think that I'm going to keep God happy so I can do my own thing. That's religion. If you don't take change in charge of your mind, it will completely dominate and control your lack of obedience to the Lord. It will always find justification for you to do what you want and not what God wants. Because after all, it makes sense to you here. It will convince you that you cannot afford to obey the Lord and that it isn't a good time to step out in faith. And the Lord tells you, go ahead and bless these people in need. And you sort of have this inward desire, but your mind says, you don't have any money. Or you do have money, but we have already designated for something else. You can't give it, so you can't step out in faith. You always counting. You become a miser. After a while, you hoard. You don't give out freely as the Lord wants you. And you never prosper. And you never enjoy what you have. And so, this natural mind will always come up with a bunch of logical reasons why you shouldn't do what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. You will rationalize it, and you talk yourself out of obeying God every time. Then, And that's the rational thoughts. You know, it's kind of hard arguing in your own mind because you think you know it all. But then there is irrational strongholds as well. And we have to deal with these too. These primarily have to do with completely unrealistic fears and worries that come up all of a sudden. My daughter, I remember, whose car hurt for life. We allow her to see the movie Arachnophobia very early in her development. And she is arachnophobic. And so are the children becoming arachnophobic or have become. You know, there is common sense. I mean, you're not going to poke a spider that you know can bite. Not all spiders bite, but some do, and they can be really painful. But you are 1,000 times bigger than a spider. So just because one is in the corner, you know, kill it, kill it, kill it. Where was I? These irrational strongholds have to do with completely unrealistic fears and worries, such as fear of contracting a terminal disease when there's no evidence for it. I don't know. I may get cancer, you know. I might have an ulcer, or I'm coming down with the virus. I'm going to die early in life. My father died and my grandfather died early, so I'm going to die early. That's irrational. We get abnormal fear of rejection. People don't like me. I think they look at me funny. I saw them the first time. They didn't smile long enough. They must not like me. That's unrealistic. And yet, some of us function that way. Some people have fear of driving over bridges. The thing is going to fall. And you have semi-trucks loaded with dirt and rocks and all of that going through it. Fine. But you're in your puny little car. No, I cannot go through that bridge. It's going to fall. That's unreasonable fears. The traffic is too bad in Fort Myers. I can't drive there. No. The Yankees are there. The Snowbirds are there. They'll hit me. These types of irrational fears in the mind and your emotions and imaginations can normally play their course and then dissipate. Sometimes you get thoughts, I'm too high up here in this building. I can fall. Well, you take the proper precautions and next time. Well, yeah, I got a rope tied around my neck. Well, not my neck, my waist. My waist or some part of me that has a harness. I can tie myself down to a pole and then I can do everything safely. And then, you know, your fears, you overcome your fears. After a while, you realize, well, you know, as long as I am reasonably careful, there shouldn't be anything. I mean, we can't expect 180-mile-an-hour wind in the middle of February to come and swipe me off this two-story building. So they can play their course, and sometimes you get them, you get panicked for a minute, and you say, you know, that was silly of me to think that way, and then you go your normal course. But sometimes they make a sort of a deeper impression on you, and you keep thinking, and then you start getting the negative rabbit hole, down La La Land, and then those can become strongholds in our lives. We give them thoughts, and so, you know, you're hearing here the importance of thoughts. You know, we need to renew our mind, and our mind is where the thoughts are developed. So if these harassing thoughts persist in your mind and you insist on allowing them to control you mentally and emotionally, they become strongholds, and you must deal with them immediately with the Word of God. Amen. Now, there's a scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starts with verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare, and I talks about divine warfare, okay, spiritual warfare. We are involved in it, whether you realize it or not. When you said yes to Jesus, you were drafted into a warfare. And there's no secret agents. You cannot just wheeze your way through life being a secret agent of the Lord. Mm-mm. We're all branded and are very exposed to the enemy. So, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. There's a representation there on the wall of the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6 talks about it. And notice there's a lot of defense armory, and there's probably one, maybe two offensive weapons there, the shield and the sword. Amen. The shield of faith, I mean, that you can knock somebody out with your shield of faith. Well, I shouldn't say somebody, I'd say the enemy. You can block him, and you can punch the enemy with your faith. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Offensive weapons that you need to learn to use, you see. We have been given them, but we need to put them on and learn how to use, learn to swing that sword, not against your brother and sister, but against your enemy. So, these weapons are mighty in God. The key word here is in God. They're not just mighty for you to use as you please. It's when you follow God's training and instruction, then you can overcome the whatever tactic the enemy throws at you. And it says they're greatly successful in pulling down strongholds in you and in me. So these weapons of warfare are very essential in controlling and getting rid of strongholds in our life that don't seem to be able to come down with anything. And so we need spiritual weapons. And then he continues saying, verse 5, casting down arguments. In fact, the King James says imaginations. So it has to do with the mind here. The warfare is basically on the mind first and foremost. And that's why the enemy targets our mind so much, even from the start of our life. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. Again, our thought life, our mind, our thinking, what we dwell in, this is very important for us to keep in check, because if we let it go on its own, the enemy will just use it against you. And he will make you a prisoner of his through a stronghold that he builds upon your mind. Notice that the Apostle Paul does not say anything about bringing the devil into captivity. Oh, I'm going to trap that devil. No, you're not going to do that. In fact, you can't do that. Rather, the Apostle here says for you to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so the battle is here, and you have to protect that territory. Now, you can keep the devil at bay But you cannot trap the devil. He's too smart for you on your own strength. And God didn't give you weapons to trap him, but to poke him out of, so that he will flee from you. The devil tries to invade your life through lies that he plants on your brain. And that's what a stronghold is all about. If you don't take those thoughts captive, it will be a matter of time before the devil starts using those lies to create mental and emotional strongholds for the purpose of keeping you in bondage. And so we are commanded to take every thought captive. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you have to know what God says about the subject. And if you don't know, boy, concordances are very simple to have, to operate. Your phone, if you got a Bible app, it probably has a little magnifying glass that is called search. And you can search that word and find out all the scriptures, and you can find out what this subject is all about in the word. I mean, you don't need to be a scholar in the scriptures to find out what scripture says about a particular subject. The more you know, the more you will make wise decisions. And so these strongholds will try to keep you in bondage, but if you take your thoughts captive at the beginning, then your thoughts cannot make you captive. You see, you have to have the upper hand here. You cannot let your thoughts take you wherever they want. No, you have to take your thoughts where you want them to be, and that is in the kingdom of God and its principles. I got a homework for you. Let me see. Ha! There it is. You never thought that a Sunday morning preaching would have homework. Well, you got it this time, buddy. There's always a first time. Now, you can choose not to do it, and you'll be the lesser for it. You know, if you hear all about strongholds, and then you don't do this homework, you don't see this actually playing out in the scriptures. God spent four chapters in a particular person, life, the life of a person from birth to death, four chapters in the Old Testament to show us how these strongholds work. There's a story of Samson in the book of Judges. Goes from chapter 13, how the Lord told this mom about her son that was going to be born and how God intended to use him and how the whole story unfolds. And we're going to, if the Lord permits, I'm going to try to bring that about step by step so that we can see the progression of a stronghold and its consequences on a life. Samson was a strong man who ended up becoming a man of sorrows. He climbed into bed with the world, and the world got a grip firm on him. His stronghold, which appeared like an angel to him in his mind, became in his real life a demon. And so we will look at that. Today I'm quitting early. And so I'm going to end up with a few scriptures here. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit," it is inferred there that they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And then next verse says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You know, just taking the word death and taking the word life and peace, which one would you choose? Well, you say, I like life and peace. Well, it costs. There's a price to pay. God gave it freely, but because of our upbringing, our relationships, our habits, all everything else, we have to undo. You know, it's like a computer hard drive. You can have it so full of junk that you can't put anything good anymore. You have to empty the old stuff, clean out, empty the junk, and then have room for the good stuff to go in. The same thing we have to do with our minds. So we were born with a mind that tends to stick with the carnal stuff. And so that's why God said, we have to renew our minds. I mean, clean the old man out and put the new thinking of God into this new man. You cannot put new wine in old wineskins. And so this is part of what the whole scripture talks about. We have to renew our minds. And so, Olivia, would you come? So, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Every one of us, without exception, has strongholds in various levels. Some of your strongholds may be simple, not really very life impacting. Just give it time. It's just a matter of time. Some strongholds are worse than others. Jesus made us free for us to stay free, not to fall back in bondage. In fact, Galatians, I'll end up with this scripture. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 says, stand fast, that means stand firm, therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Strongholds are prisons. You can't get out on yourself. People can't come in and rescue you. You need the power of God, just like Joshua needed the power of God to destroy those walls in Jericho as he followed God's instructions. And God wants to destroy every single stronghold in our lives. Whether we think it's not a big issue or not, they can become a big issue. We want to get rid of it. We want to be completely free as God intended. So, Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you have told us regarding these strongholds. I pray you continue to work in our minds, work in our hearts. Father, that we would renew our minds to get to know what is really in our minds that belongs to you and what is there that doesn't need to be there. As we continue to look into this subject, Father, continue to reveal to us even those areas, Father, from the worst to the least. And Father, help us to conquer them so that we can actually have the liberty that Christ came to give us. Lord, you said, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Lord, you made us free, and we want to keep that freedom to do everything you said that will bring life and godliness in our existence, Father, here. And I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, I bless them. I pray that this week, as they study the life of Samson, that they would picture areas that they have allowed the enemy to come in and create strongholds. But Father, not just that knowledge, but Father, the knowledge of the strength of your word and the power of your weapons of warfare that you have freely given to us to do the proper fight. and win the victory that you intended for us to live. I bless you, people, Father. Bring us back together next time to continue to learn about strongholds. I bless you, people, and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have any need for prayer today, we're going to be here praying for a little bit. God bless.